Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
And finally, as we approach 7 o'clock on this Thursday evening, markets and company news, it's the turn of Simon Brown from Just One Lap. Simon, good evening to you. And the JSE down across all sectors after hitting a new record yesterday. So just taking a bit of a breather.
I think so. Evening, Jeremy. Yeah, as you say, down across sectors, industrial perhaps a little under a little less pressure, resources leading the way lower. The commodity themselves are a bit higher. The rand is a bit weaker. So I really think this is, as you say, nothing's going to go in a straight line. We've had some all-time highs and the market's taking a bit of a breather. We did see US markets down last night. We saw Asia a little bit mixed, but Europe as well, also a little bit weaker as we chat today.
Simon, one share that's not taking a breather, and I guess to be expected, is Pick and Pay. It's up by over 1.5%. All of this on the news that the company has decided to renew the contract of Sean Summers through until 2028, I think. So he was the previous chief executive, very successful at the time, retired. Pick and Pay got into a lot of difficulty. They've brought him back, and he really is involved in almost a strip mining exercise.
He absolutely is. He had a three-year contract, so that was running until September of next year. They've now pushed it out to May 2028. It gives him about an extra year and a half. I have to say, that initial 3 years, I know the theory is, you know, to turn around and stuff, but we've seen previous Pick and Pay CEOs have 3, 4, 5 years, 10 years, and not get anywhere with the turnaround. Thought 3 was a bit tight. This does give him a little more wiggle room. It still remains a challenge. They've done the Boxer listing. That has certainly helped significantly with their debt profile. That's been a problem for them. But there's still some way to get the business operationally and the stores individually back into a space where they can sort of start growing market share. They've had a number of years of losing market share, mostly to ShopRite.
And what a challenge this is, because as he is doing this, behemoths like ShopRite and even Woolworths, I guess, are also striding ahead with innovation of their own, almost like running a race with one leg tied up.
And that is 100% the challenge that Sean Summers has. What he needs to do, and let's just take distribution centers as an example. ShopRite got into these about 20 years ago. We find that Pick and Pay is well behind the curve on distribution centers. He needs to catch up to where ShopRite are. But of course, they're not standing still. They are growing and expanding. 60-60 and the expansions we're seeing there, they're moving that into the ShopRite stables, not just in Checkers. So it's exceedingly difficult. It's one thing to turn it around, but now you've got to go after the market leader who is still going to be way ahead of you once you've done a successful turnaround. And when I say once, turnarounds are never guaranteed.
Simon, let's go back to market performance today. And Sasol, I'm just pulling that up on my screen right now, is maybe ending. I know you said industrials are down slightly, but this is notable, down almost 5% today. But it has had a good run of late, right?
It absolutely has. I mean, it bottomed at about 55 rand back in early April, Liberation Day, 2nd of April, and got up to 86 and some change just yesterday. So it's been a significant run. A couple of things have worked for it. Oil price a little bit in its favor. I think there's just no one left to really sell it if you want it out of Sasol. By now, the pain has been such that you have exited. And then, of course, the capital markets day on Tuesday really got the stock moving. And again, nothing in a straight line. If you've had it for a while, you're really, really happy with it. But there's going to be some breathers. But it does, that capital markets day, a lot of moving parts there. But the market liked what it saw, which is perhaps most important.
Market also liking Investec's results tonight.
Very strong results. And interesting, talking around turnarounds, I mean, Investec, and they mention it in the results. Way back in 2019, they talked around new strategy, new focus, getting the business right-sized in terms of costs and the like. And they're now saying, here we are, we've done it. It took us 5 years, but we are effectively, they 200 basis points, 2% in terms of operational profit, better off. But all cylinders firing. They still picking up clients. They managed to sell more to their existing clients, which is always a good opportunity. And just an all-round good set of numbers. What really struck me with Investec is their impairment, bad debt, as you and I would know it, is down just over 0.3%, which is immensely low. The other bigger banks, and I appreciate they also then in a lot of more sort of unsecured and low-income lending, their impairment rates are closer to sort of 0.8, 0.9%.
And what is the secret for a bank in doing that? How do they keep that level at an acceptable rate?
It really is. And it's an interesting question, Jeremy, because it's kind of at the behest of the banks. They're not new to lending. They understand lending. They've got the models. And it's how much risk do they want to take? You understand that in every 100 loans you give out, at certain risk parameters, say 5 would default. But you can change that risk parameter and be perhaps a little more flexible. And then you get 7 defaults. You get a little more default, but you make money off because you've given out more loans. Inversely, you can tighten. We've seen Absa do that in recent years, where you tighten lending requirements, and that means less defaults, but also less revenue. So whilst it's a model which in theory you can kind of tweak much like you would a kitchen tap, in practice it's a lot harder. And Investec been doing it very, very well.
Simon's statement out today from Life Healthcare: strong operating performance at the halfway stage of the financial year, and it attributes the success to acquisitions.
Yeah, they've been doing some small acquisitions. They got some really nice operational leverage, which is always important to see. Revenue up nicely, but headline earnings a little bit higher than that, which has meant they sweat in their assets a little bit more. They've also, of course, done some sales, their Life Molecular Imaging. That transaction should close in the second half of this year. The problem that they have, or the hard part that they have, is particularly more on the elective surgery, consumers under pressure, less than they were a year or two ago. But I think some elective surgeries might be sort of being delayed or cancelled altogether. And medical inflation. Medical inflation is always well ahead of sort of traditional normal inflation. And that's always a challenge that these guys have. But I've got to say, a sector I'm not a giant fan of because of that issues around inflation and then, of course, regulation as well. But a really good set of numbers coming out of them. And we've only really got two left. It's them and Netcare, or the only two on the JSE these days.
Simon, forgive my obsession with this particular sector, and I have apologized to you before, and I shall do so again, but I do love the fish sector. And there was an interesting article in Business Day today, the chief executive of Sea Harvest saying that the business is robust, and it is, but there's been a real rout as far as the share price is concerned. What's up with that stock?
Yeah, this is Felix Wateb. I mean, he's been there for over a decade. Jeremy, you and I have chatted seafood many times. It's a difficult one for investors. It's very cyclical. Maybe not as much as we would see with the chicken producers. And certainly what we've seen at Sea Harvest is they have looked to diversify. They've moved into other segments, dairy most notably, aquaculture at the same time, which is abalone and the like. So it's not just the good old-fashioned hake that we all know, but it's cyclical because, you know, what is your catch going to be? You might have a quota. That quota could be reduced. You might get your quota, but what was the cost? How many times did your boat need to go out to hit your quota? And I think that in of itself spooks investors. We've seen the same with the other listed seafood companies on the JSE. But if we take it a step further as well, market cap of 2.3 billion. For you and I and the listener, that is a giant, giant number. But if you are a public investment corporation and you've got a couple of trillion to invest, it's really difficult to get into a stock like this with such a small market cap. So it kind of, it's caught between a rock and a hard place. If it was a 10 billion market cap, then the big fund managers can invest into it. But it can't get to be 10 billion until they do. And the way to do it is really just to absolutely knock out the results. And that's tough in a cyclical business like seafood.
I feel calamari and chips coming on tonight. We're going to leave it there. Simon Brown from Just One Lap. Chat to you next Thursday.
Hot 102.7.
Hot Business brought to you by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Tailored solutions, deep insights built around your business, your sector, your ambition. Standard Bank is an authorized FSP and registered credit provider.
Hot 102.7.
1027.
And that's where we're going to leave Hot 1027 Business for this evening. We're back on Monday at 6 o'clock. Good night to you. Thank you for listening. And stay invested.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking.